We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
He is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you.
We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our responsive introit from Psalm 24. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Who is the King of glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your head, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. We continue with our Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you send your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9. Some amazing things to note here as we have our Old Testament reading. We do hear Isaiah prophesying about our Lord Jesus. It's especially clear in verse 6 and verse 7 as he speaks of his suffering as he endured it before his crucifixion. Isaiah telling us about this over 700 years before it takes place by the Spirit of the Lord. We begin in verse 4 of Isaiah 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson for this morning comes from the book of Philippians in the second chapter. The Apostle Paul writes to the church, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand as we come to the center of the nave for the Holy Gospel reading this morning. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed that struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And they went out. They found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had him crucified, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put a charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads, saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We invite you all to join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today. That's hymn 442, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor."
Thank you.
blessing to be with you this morning as we celebrate Palm Sunday and the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. On this day, we have a buffet of choices as preachers from the lectionary of things to preach on. And so our text for the sermon this morning comes from the Gospel of John in the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 20. I'll read that text for you now. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast, there were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it was thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." This is the gospel of our Lord. I settled on this text from John's gospel because it's one of the most intriguing sections in John's gospel, I think. Maybe in the whole Bible. Because in this text, Jesus says these words. It was verse 31 and 32. "Now," he says, "now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of the world be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." We so often think about judgment as if it's a future event only. Right? People on, they'll say, "Well, on Judgment Day," speaking only about the return of Christ. Or sometimes people will talk about it at like the time of one's death, that they'll finally have to meet and deal with the Lord. But Jesus speaks of the judgment in our text this morning from John 12 as if it's already taken place for us. Saying there, "Now is the judgment of this world." Like it's already happened. Why is he saying this? He's saying it to precisely locate the judgment of God where it belongs. Not in a distant reality, but instead within himself. Jesus and the gifts that he gives, these are also the judgment of God. Sounds kind of strange. But he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's everything. He's all in all. Jesus is. If we think of judgment on a timeline as an isolated event of the future, it's to consider its reality apart from Jesus. And like it's something to worry about another day. We know that isn't a Christian way to live, and yet it's easy for us to do that. Like we can put off getting right with God as long as we catch it before Jesus comes back or before we die. Jesus himself is the judgment. Jesus himself is salvation for the world. Both are fundamental to his person and his work. And we understand it more by some of the other things he says in the 12th chapter of John, verses 25 and 26. He said, "Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me." "Oh yeah, follow you where, Jesus? To self-hatred?" "Not exactly. But to the cross, yes. Willing to give up ourselves. Willing to give up our pride, which I don't necessarily have to remind anybody, I don't think, that that's a really hard thing to do sometimes. To set our I'm right aside. Even if it's for the sake of someone we love, it's difficult. Follow him to the cross. For we must have no other gods before him. And that includes ourselves, which especially in our time today is one of our biggest idols. This is a paradigm or a worldview adjustment for all of us this morning. Our own lives, our own desires, our own successes and failures, our hopes and our dreams. We must be willing to lay down, or as Jesus will put it in another place, die to ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him. But then he goes on to tell us even more in verse 32 and 33. He says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." But then the next verse, verse 33, John helps us understand what he means. He says there in verse 33 to the reader, "Jesus said this to show what kind of death he was going to die." Meaning, his being lifted up wasn't primarily about his ascension, which is what is often thought. When Jesus is talking about being lifted up and drawing everyone to himself, he was talking about judgment and about where to follow him to. How can we follow him there? Well, the lifting up he's talking about was the literal heaving up of the cross from horizontal to vertical after he was already nailed to it. It's the cross of Christ from which all the world is judged. Jesus and his sacrifice for sins today, currently, right now, is your judge and mine. Our Lord's sacrifice on the cross was the measurement or the plumb line by which all of us come face to face with God Almighty even this morning. Do you see what he means? Now is the judgment of this world. Long before what we call Judgment Day, long before we pass away even, or until the trumpet of the Lord sounds. We're not going to stand before God necessarily the way that we think we are, like a judge in a gavel with us shaking on the stand. Those are human ideas. The last day, the judgment day, he is going to separate the sheep from the goats, like he says, but he'll already be well aware of which is which. Based literally on who rejected the benefits of his cross and his forgiveness. The world faces its judgment even now every time it deals with the cross of Christ. Have you ever attended the stock show up in Denver? Or even your local fair? At those events, they have these things called animal judgings. Have you ever witnessed one of these things? Where it's usually 4-H students, but sometimes adults too, that bring their animals to show, and they walk those animals around the pen to be judged. And the judges and the onlookers are looking on those animals, and they're evaluating them, and they're looking closely at those animals. But do you know what always intrigued me about animal judging when I was a part of FFA and saw the 4-H things and did that stuff more? What always intrigues me is that the animals, they're in the pen, but they have no idea that they're being judged. They're just walking around the pen. They've got no clue. They don't know what's going on. But they're being judged. Many people today live just like those animals. They don't realize the judgment of God is at work through the message of the cross. They're just wandering around looking for the next bite or their next girlfriend. So how does that judgment work? In order to understand this, we'll have to take a look not just at Jesus and his cross and what we heard about in our gospel reading from the center of the nave, but at what it means for us. So for a minute, let's examine the fruits of his cross, the benefits that he won for us there on Calvary. Then we'll see it. Jesus died. Complete physical death on the cross for our forgiveness, to pay the penalty for our sins, to take the punishment upon himself for our rebellion against God. I mean, you know all the things that God tells you to do and not to do, and I know all the things he tells me to do and not to do. But how often do we really listen to him? Jesus dies to pay for our rebellion. But forgiveness, this is an interesting reality. When forgiveness comes, it comes as the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us about the word. It comes as a double-edged sword. Remember that text from Hebrews? The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. See, Jesus is Savior of the world. That's one edge. Jesus is also judge. That's the other edge. God's word is law that convicts and condemns. It's filled with rules we don't keep, but it's also filled with peace and joy and comfort and mercy and hope. That's the part we call the gospel. Both edges of the sword, literally, of his word, law and gospel. So when Jesus tells us about his judgment this morning, he's letting us in on the reality that the benefits of his cross also have two edges. The fruits of the cross are those things that he gives the world, his own body and blood, and the water that flows from his side when he's pierced for our transgressions, the water of holy baptism. It's from the cross. The body and blood of his holy supper, and with and under the bread and wine. These are the sacraments to the church. These are the cross delivered to you. Jesus promises to be here with us. Even this morning, saying, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So wherever Jesus is both edges of the sword, both law and gospel, both salvation and judgment. Think about this. In order to repent of sin, we must first be judged. God must show us that we're wrong, that we're sinful. His word tells us in Romans chapter 3 that there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then and only then can we receive his gospel of forgiveness. If we're living our lives thinking that we're justified by our own actions or the way that we can twist things in our minds to make them okay, we're missing the blessing of God, where he tells us the truth. We don't just receive Christ in the abstract. This is the beautiful reality of this. We receive Christ in a real way, in a reality. He wants us to have all of him, so he judges us, and he forgives us. And in this, we truly receive him. Think about this too. If forgiveness comes to someone who can see their sin by the grace of God, it comes as a blessing. But if it comes to someone, forgiveness I mean, and they don't need it, or they reject it, it becomes their judgment. This is what Jesus is talking about this morning when he says, now is the judgment of this world. Every time someone hears of Jesus' cross or his forgiveness, his truth from his own word, it's a judgment and it's at the same time salvation. Peace and forgiveness. What sense does that make? God loves us so much that he literally dies for us. It goes to the cross and delivers not just to us, but purchased for the whole world his forgiveness, his pure pardon. But the world loves so many other things so much more that when Jesus' forgiveness comes to them, when it shows up, they won't listen. They reject it. They spit at the church. They mock it. And they never darken the doorway. It's always, oh, the church this, the church that. I did church one time and blah, blah, blah. Yes, then they are judged by it. And surely they're like the cattle or the sheep at the stock show. Just wandering around the pen of this world, waiting for the slaughterhouse. But for believers, as believers, we're glad to be judged by Jesus. We want to be judged, told, and shown what's true and right, and taught, although none deserve it, by his grace, to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Why did he suffer for us like he did? We read it this morning. Think about what he went through. Think about what he was willing to go through. God giving up his only son for us. Why? Because he loves you. That's why he did it. For God so loved the world. It's because he loves you. But we're terrible at feeling loved, aren't we? How often do you stop and think about it? The phrase, this idea, you are loved. It takes some focus to focus on that idea. It takes a little bit of mind power. But do it often because it's true. You are loved by God and by many others around you. The lengths he was willing to go to save us, show us his heart. Boy, did they show it to us. The beard pulling, turning his back to the whip, shows us who he is and how much he loves us. And he knows how dangerous sin is and how we use it to destroy ourselves all the time. But it's in those moments that we rejoice that he can say, now is the judgment of this world. And that through the cross and the gospel message, we come face to face with who we really are, with our judgment in Christ. And then at the end of this world, when the trumpet sounds, and the Christ appears in the clouds with all of his angels, we will have already passed through his judgment. He'll already know who we are. He'll know our names. And we'll enter and be in the joy of our Lord forever, where there's no more sin and no more pain and no more tears. And we'll get the full deal, right? I mean, that day on the road with the palms, they were waving their palms and they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Do you know what Hosanna means? It means save us. Save us. Don't think that it wasn't in his mind. when he was walking up that hill with the cross on his back, and they had cried, "Save us," and he went, and he stepped, and he fell, and he got back up. That's the love of God portrayed clearly. So if he calls something a sin, if a God who loves you that much says that is a sin, no matter how much pleasure it promises to bring us, we confess and we repent and we turn away from it. And we say we're sorry and he forgives us. In this way we truly receive Christ. Both edges of the sword of his word bring life, peace, joy, and comfort to us. Even the judgment of him tells us the truth, and it's a blessing. So when we hear him say to us, "Now is the judgment of this world," we can rejoice, seeing that it's all a blessing. It's our life, it's our joy, and it's our forgiveness. Law and gospel bring to us Jesus Christ our Lord. It's at the cross that he died for us. He accomplished our salvation there. But we receive that wonderful display of gifts through his word and his sacraments this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father. Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service where we come before the Lord with our prayers and thanksgivings. Our response for our prayers this morning is, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord of hosts, King of glory, lift up the gates of our hearts and make way for your blessed Son. Forgive our sins, renew our souls, that we may glorify him who died to save us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you desire not the death of any sinner, but that all would turn in repentance to you. We pray you bless the preaching of your gospel and the administration of your sacraments in mission fields around the world and here in our church as well. We pray you'd convert those who do not yet know you and sustain those who face danger and opposition for the name of Christ. Bless and protect all missionaries as they proclaim Christ boldly in hostile places, and surround their families with your care. Banish from our hearts all prejudice, that might hinder our mission work here in our nation or abroad. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, you sacrificed your own Son on the cross that we may be called your children. Increase the faith of all Christian parents that receiving Jesus and trusting in his atoning sacrifice, they may be enlivened to sacrificial love for their children and their families. Strengthen the Christian home, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, our King, your Son entered Jerusalem as the true ruler, ready to lay down his life for the people. Grant this same mind to those in authority over us, that they would discharge their duty even for the least among us and so receive your commendation. Lord, in your mercy. According to your gracious will, O Lord, look upon all those who suffer illness or physical trouble of any kind. We name this morning those who have requested our prayers: Emilio Lujan, Shannon and family, Nathan Poole, the family of Armin Stolpe, Kirsten Jones Beasley, Brooklyn Clasby, Leroy Martinez, Betty White, Carolyn Jerry, Rita Allen, Sandy Cody, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendone, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Father, bless them with what's best for them according to your good and gracious will, and strengthen their faith. Open our hearts to serve their bodily needs. Take into your care, Lord, also those who mourn the death of loved ones, especially now as we get closer to Easter. Give them peace and comfort through your holy word. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, as your Son once entered humbly into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so send him to us according to his promise in the Holy Sacrament, that we may eat his body and drink his blood in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of our sins and in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath, but in mercy, with his judgment and his forgiveness, as we enter into this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation. Show us the answer to our prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where we receive, where we give to the Lord a portion of those things that we've received. And we have a blessing this morning as during our offering time, our TLC singers will be singing Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Amen. Eternally rejoice. Love that. Thank you all. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary today, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin for our service of the Holy Sacrament. And we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, there life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM. KSPK.